Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When it comes to home insurance, Geico works for you. And since I'm the Geico Gecko, I'm here working for you too.
Hey Gecko, can you record my voicemail greeting?
No problemo.
You've reached the amazing Rita. She's probably busy right now teaching music theory to neighborhood birds or telling a total stranger how they can bundle home and car insurance with Geico to get the discounts they deserve. But rest assured, she'll get back to you once she's done brightening her little corner of the world.
Did that sound all right?
Nailed it. No notes.
Let Geico work for you. Get more with Geico.
Hey, what's up? It's Questlove. This week on Questlove Supreme, we're getting cozy with the legend, Mariah Carey. An intimate two-part episode.
Nobody knew who I was, and they introduced me. Ladies and gentlemen, Columbia recording artist, Mariah Carey. They're like,
wow.
But then at the end of it, the announcer, he's like, the palace now has a queen.
Listen to Questlove Supreme on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Suprema.
Hey y'all, what's up? It's your girl Jess Hilarious, and I'm here to tell y'all I got my own podcast called Carefully Reckless on the Black Effect Network. I'm going to be telling y'all all my business and definitely telling you other people's business too. It'll be respectful and messy at the same time. So make sure you tune in because y'all know me. Listen to Carefully Reckless on January 20th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, thanks for downloading this podcast. If you want to listen live, be sure to download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hour number 2 of Fantasy Sports Today is here. In this hour of the show, CBS Sports' Jamie Eisenberg will detail everything that happened last night between the Patriots and Giants. We also have a preview of the weekend. You'll want to stay tuned. I've got all the injury updates, everything going around the NFL. Some significant players could be in or out. Fantasy Sports Today, Hour 2, starts now.
Fantasy Sports Today.
All right, welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today, and this is Craig Mish here with hour number 2 of our show. You can dial us up at 844-843-6879. Again, that number to call is 844-843-6879. We have a heck of a schedule ahead of us in college football this weekend. I hope you guys enjoy it, because now we're starting to get into the heart of the season. We spent 3 or 4 weeks complaining about not having any top 25 teams facing off against each other. We've got a game early. We've got a game in the middle of the day. And then we got a game at night. So that's what I'll be locked into this weekend. Tonight we got the University of Miami taking on Virginia, where the University of Miami football team under new head coach Manny Diaz has not looked good at all. Wow. Started a freshman quarterback against the Gators, Jaren Williams. Miami lost to Florida, but came out thinking they looked pretty good in that one. And I got to give Miami credit. They hung around in that game for a little while until the Gators, of course, inevitably won. But since that game, that kid has not looked good at all. And they put him on the bench tonight. They start Nikosi Perry against Perkins from Virginia, who, for the most part, is a pretty steady quarterback and one of the better ones in the ACC. And Miami is a 2, maybe 2.5 point favorite, depending on where you look at it. I don't know. It's a Friday night home game, But Miami's home field advantage is not near what it is for a lot of other teams in the country. Remember, the University of Miami football team does not, they train at Coral Gables, but they play at Hard Rock Stadium where the Miami Dolphins play. And I can tell you right now that that place ain't going to be filled tonight. You got no shot of that. So home field is definitely great for them when they play Florida or they play FSU or they play one of these tough teams in that stadium, but usually a more or less 50% filled stadium when the Hurricanes play in this stage of the game after they looked so bad last week against Virginia Tech. I think Virginia Tech was up 28-0 that game, something like that. They were up a lot. And then Miami came back and made it close. The other game, of course, that I have my eye on this weekend, and I'm very nervous about this one. I kind of thought the Gators had a good shot last week, playing at home in the swamp against Auburn. But, man, when that line came out on Sunday night, and what I like to do is before the lines come out in some of these games in the NFL and college, I like to, like, I put my phone down for a second, and I, like, look up, and I say, okay, what do I think this line should be? And in the Florida LSU game Saturday night, I thought it would be 8.5 or 9. That's what I thought. You know, look, LSU has played fantastic. They're scoring a lot more points than they ever have. And you don't want to overreact too much to Florida beating Auburn because, of course, they were at home. So I thought, all right, the Gators probably going to be, they got to be a touchdown underdog for sure. LSU's playing too good. And if they make them less than that, everyone's going to be on LSU. So you got to make the line 8 or 9. Then it came out and it was 13. And since then, it's moved up. It's 13.5. I don't like when I see that stuff. I really don't. I'm hoping that the Gators can just get this down to the fourth quarter and keep it within a possession or two. This kid Trask, the starting quarterback who's taken over for Felipe Franks, would you believe, in a limited sample, has a higher completion percentage than Tua Tagovailoa on Alabama and higher than Joe Burrow on LSU? You wouldn't have guessed that, but he does. Now, again, he's only played in 2.5 games or whatever it is. That's true, too. And one of the opponents was not exactly a world beater last week, 2 weeks ago. But this will be the ultimate test playing at LSU. And all of the years that I went to the University of Florida and then even followed SEC football after, I don't think that there's any, and this would include playing in Tuscaloosa, I don't think there is a tougher place to play, including the Swamp, which is historically probably the toughest place to play in all of college football. But playing in LSU at night, oh my gosh, that's like the worst scenario possible. I would have loved that game at 3:30 Eastern. Now, Florida has had really good success against LSU over the last few years. Remember, they even had to move that game from Gainesville to LSU 1 year because of the hurricane. So, and Florida went to LSU and beat them. But this is a tough, tough task this week with a freshman quarterback, or basically a first-year starting quarterback with Kyle Trask. But I'm going to take the Gators and expect them to keep it close. 13 points close, that seems like a lot. But when the line pops up 5 points higher than I thought, that's when I start to get worried. So I hope you guys enjoy the college football this weekend for sure. Speaking of NFL football, I think that as a proud father, I like when my kid performs on the baseball field or when he plays golf. Imagine you have a kid that's a savant in fantasy at a very young age. That's something different. Haven't heard of that one before. And coming up next on the show, Joe Pizzapia, who hosts with me Monday through Thursday, he had a chance to speak to one of the youngest fantasy football enthusiasts in the country. And it was such a good interview that I want to play that back for you coming up next. Immediately after that, Jamie Eisenberg of CBS Sports, as he does every week, joins me for two segments. So in our first segment, what we'll do is we'll break down what happened last night between the Giants and Patriots. And then we'll dive into some of the matchups that we both like for the weekend, which would include some potential picks to click this weekend in both DFS and season-long leagues. And then as we end the show today, in about an hour from now, we'll do some exit velocity, and I have my thoughts on one of the historic runs that we're seeing from a starting pitcher. And, of course, his name is Garrett Cole on the Houston Astros. So plenty more to come here with you on the show on Fantasy Sports Today. We're just getting started with this second hour. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes and continue on up until 2 when we send it over to Full-Time Fantasy. I'm Craig Mish here on FNTSY Radio and Sports Grid. Don't go away.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? Sports Grid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, Sports Grid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is Sports Grid. Get on the grid.
It's no secret that our current healthcare system is broken. We're often taught to avoid the doctor unless we're already sick. This is where Forward comes in. Forward doctors deliver personalized insights to put you on the path to better health. And they're based right here in the San Francisco Bay Area. Forward doctors actually spend time listening and getting to know you. Using real-time blood results and genetic analysis, they build a preventative plan with you to mitigate any health risk. And the best part? Forward doctors make it easy by guiding you through small changes to your lifestyle today to achieve long-term results. With the latest technology and tools, Forward's high-caliber team of doctors deliver cutting-edge preventative care. Whether it's finding the root cause of a new problem, managing a condition, or building a plan to achieve your wellness goals, at Forward, your healthiest self is just around the corner. Better yet, Forward doctors help you find exactly what your genes say about your health. It's time to listen to what your body is telling you. Go to GoForward.com today to get the insights you need to put you on the path to better health. That's GoForward.com.
My good people, my name is Questlove, host of the Rabbit Hole Pop Culture Nerd Paradise, otherwise known as Questlove Supreme. We here at QLS take pride in bringing out the best of our many guests, and this particular episode is no different. We are honored to bring you a special two-part episode with the one and only, drumroll please, Mariah Carey. Yes, Mariah Carey. She gets very candid about her three-decade-plus illustrious career.
And nobody knew who I was, and they introduced me, ladies and gentlemen, Columbia recording artist, Mariah Carey. They're like, wow. And but then at the end of it, the announcer, he's like, the palace now has a queen.
She tells it like it is and shares with her fans what it's like to be Mimi.
Diana Ross, and she's by herself, doing her hair, doing her makeup, walking barefoot in and out of the room. And she's like, in the most glamorous way possible. And she's like, Mariah, one day you're not going to have all these people around you. You're not going to have all these people around you. And now I'm like, I believe that someday is here.
Listen to Questlove Supreme on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Suprema!
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish.
Welcome back, everybody. Fantasy Sports Today. Joe Pizzapia, Scott Bogman taking a breather real quick. And in the meantime, I want to introduce everybody to the guy who's going to take my job and Scott's job and Mish's job in about, I don't know, 15 years. I caught this kid on the Twitter machine, and he's the host of the Prodigy podcast. He does these YouTube videos. He does all this sports stuff, and he's only 10 years old. I want to welcome to the show Danny Dion of New York, who basically is just laying out all the knowledge at just 10 years old. Danny, welcome to the program, my friend.
Thank you for having me, Joe. This is amazing. Well,
I'm glad that you took time out of your busy schedule between school and everything else to chat with me. So tell me, how did you end up deciding, I want to do a podcast? Were you just fed up of people shouting nonsense like me? Or you said, hey, I'm just as smart as these guys. What made you want to do a podcast and a YouTube show and all the stuff you're doing covering sports?
Well, first of all, sports is my passion. I love watching games and I enjoy playing with my friends and teammates. Second of all, I really enjoy being creative and I love to write. I enjoy the whole process from start to finish. It's funny. A podcast never feels like homework. It's just something I enjoy doing. And lastly, Joe, I'm a big fan. Your Black Book has helped through the last 2 years to achieve Spanish and glory. So first of all, I want to thank you. And second, I want to give back to my audience. That's really what drives me. If I can help someone in my audience succeed, that's a wonderful feeling. And that's why I can. That's why I started the podcast.
Well, I think it's terrific, man. I think it's great. And I think you hit the nail on the head. I think what comes through, and I caught it, and I know your dad had tweeted at me and said, hey, you know, give this a look. And I did. And I retweeted it gladly because your content is good. You're very professional. Let me tell you, you sound better than a lot of other yahoos I see on the internet trying to be fantasy football experts or baseball experts. So, you know, just from the heart, tell me a second, like, is this something like with your dad that you guys kind of bonded over?
Definitely.
Yeah. And is it something like you guys get together every week and kind of plan out the show together? Or is this, are you the leader and saying, Dad, this is what's going down this week? How does this work at the home?
Well, usually we jot down questions together, and then my dad helps me revise them, and then I'll have the final saying on what I like and what I don't like.
All right, and how is it going for you so far? Do you feel like you're getting progress? I see you hit 500 Twitter followers already. So you've been doing this for how long now? Is this the first year you've been doing it?
I've been doing it like since like midsummer.
Oh, so early still, and you're already like ahead of the game. This is great. So here's a question for you. What do you love more? You love the baseball content, the football content, or are they equal for you?
I probably got to go with the football content. It's kind of more exciting for me. I'm probably just saying football now because it's in the middle of the NFL. And then in the middle of the MLB season, I'll probably be saying MLB.
All right. Yeah, well, that sounds like the rest of us. That's usually what we sound like. We're very excited when we get a fresh new season, and by the end of it, we're frustrated with certain things, and we just can't wait to turn the page to something else, right? So let's talk about your Yankees for a second. I know you're a big Yankee fan. I know they got the sweep of the Twins. I don't know what the heck Rocco Baldelli thought he was thinking about throwing that kid in Yankee Stadium, down a game already. I already ranted and raved about that yesterday, and I'm sure I'm going to have more feelings about it later. But look, a sweep is a sweep. So now there's a good chance it's probably going to be the Astros you meet next. How do you feel about your chances there?
Bring it on, bro. Bring it on.
Oh, he's talking smack. I love it. Oh, my goodness.
I'm confident.
All right. Why are you so confident? Aren't you a little worried about Verlander and Cole or no?
Because we're savages.
You're savage. What? You're savages? Look, I'll give the Yankees this. They Gleyber Torres stepped up in a huge vacuum this summer when Stanton was out and Judge was out, both of them, and Torres absolutely put them on his back. He's been terrific. But honestly, now not as a fan. See, this is the next level stuff, Danny, okay? This is the stuff you're going to have to learn here. So I'm going to challenge you because I think you're up for the task from everything I've seen. Are you ready to put the fandom away and be honest about the Yankees for a second here? Do you really believe in your heart? And how many games do you think the Yankees are going to beat the Astros? Or you think that pitching is really just too much when all is said and done? As an analyst now, not as Danny Dion, the Yankee fan, as Danny Dion, the fantasy analyst.
Be honest with you, probably in six.
Who? And Yankees or Astros?
Yankees, because Paxton's going to get a double. Most people will get a double start. And then if you look at Greinke, he's been struggling this postseason. So I really like the Yankees odds.
All right, so you're targeting Zach Greinke. Well, I can't argue with that. All right, let's transition, talk a little football here before we let you go. So every week you do what? You do the podcast every week and you write an article. Is that correct?
Yes.
Awesome. And let's dive into that. And let's see, what are your picks this week at wide receiver? Who you like in terms of matchups that you're really looking to have a big week in week six?
I mean, obviously, it's D-Hop. He has the best hands in the game, period. Teams will think twice about double coveraging after Will Fuller's last week that was just amazing. And then the game flow against the Chiefs, it'll most likely be another high-scoring game with the Texans. Another person I got, I got Tyler Boyd against the Ravens. Baltimore secondary is in shambles. They get burned in the slot, which is where Tyler Boyd thrives. Great discount play on FanDuel. Volume. He's consistently receiving over 10 targets per game. And then Ross remains out with an injury. Next up, I like Adam Thielen. Kirk Cousins will continue to force feed his most trusted receiver. Still not buying Eagles secondary.
Amazing.
And then the preseason hype of this person has lived up. It's Chris Godwin. I mean, the preseason hype was real.
Well, I'm at the forefront. In all fairness, Danny, I'm at the forefront of the Chris Godwin hype train. So I've been driving that train for quite some time. So go ahead, tell us about Chris Godwin.
He is thriving in Bruce Arians' pass-happy offense. That's really all I got to say.
And then I love it.
And scoring too many touchdowns to count. And then my sleepers for this week are Robbie Anderson and Preston Williams. Anderson is a talented playmaker who hasn't had a quarterback able to set him up with the rock. The changes this week with the return of Sam Darnold. Injuries in the Dallas secondary is pretty much taking them over, with Aaron Jones thriving against them last week. Then I like Preston Williams, target galore, getting all the targets in Miami. And then he's a plus matchup against the Redskins. And that's all I got for receivers.
I love it. It's perfect. All right. I love it. You bring the swag, you bring the knowledge, you bring it all. Tell everybody where they can follow the show on Twitter and check it out and read the articles. Tell them real quick.
You could follow me on Twitter at DannyDion5 or search in the Prodigy Podcast. On YouTube, type in David Dion and you'll see it. We still haven't really set up a YouTube channel yet.
Well, you got to get on that. Every kid's got a YouTube channel, yeah. I feel like, nowadays, brother. Well, listen, man, keep up the good work. I'm telling you, you're on to something. You got good passion for what's going on, and you remind me a whole lot of me when I was your age. And I didn't have the internet, so I was just basically talking into a mirror pretending to be Vince Scully. So, I mean, it's come a long way. I ended up looking more like Joe Garagiola when all was said and done. I know you're not going to get that reference, kid, but someday you will, and you'll laugh. But anyway, he's Danny Dion. Go check him out on the Prodigy Podcast. And I'm telling you, fantasy football, baseball prodigy. This guy is doing the content, doing the videos, doing the podcast, doing everything, writing the articles. And he's just 10 years old because he loves it. Danny, thanks so much for joining us. We're going to get great.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, We bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Jamie Eisenberg.
And welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. As always, each and every Friday of the football season, we check in with Jamie Eisenberg from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com to talk a little fantasy, a little life, a little reality. And Jamie, thanks once again for coming on the show this afternoon as we're closing in on almost halfway through the regular season of fantasy football. They say it comes and goes pretty fast, and that would feel like it's accurate this year.
Yeah, for sure. It's been crazy start, and let's see if we have a crazy finish.
Yeah, well, I mean, last week was definitely crazy in terms of points, and I think that some people were surprised with the amount of points that there were last night between the Giants and New England Patriots, but let me start off with that game and asking you this. Christian McCaffrey is probably the fantasy football MVP. Where are the New England Patriots defense ranked in terms of MVPs of fantasy football this year? They have got to be somewhere in the top 10. An amazing run for them.
Oh, they're two. You know, if you're going to give McCaffrey one, and I could, you know, it depends how people like to judge MVP. Is the star living up to expectations like McCaffrey the reason you give the award to, or is it the surprise player, or in this case, you know, unit, the better of the two options because of where they were, you know, selected or ranked prior to the season? So, yeah, they're winning people weeks, leaps and bounds, you know. So it's a great situation to have if you have the Patriots defense. But I would say this. The schedule is about to get a lot tougher, so if you can sell them and feel comfortable selling them and somebody's buying a defense, I would look to shop them.
Yeah, and in years past when we've played this, and you know, some people don't use the defense and special teams and they use the extra flex or the super flex. I'm in a number of those kind of leagues this year. But the one thing that I've noticed, Jamie, and I don't know if you know how you feel about this, is certainly in this particular season, it doesn't feel like there's as much parity as there have been in the past. There's just a lot of the haves and the have-nots. Do you think that is a trend that could continue where in future seasons we'll see teams that are in that, you know, unadmittedly tanking type mode where you have the Redskins and the Dolphins and the Bengals and when Pittsburgh lost their quarterback clearly, but you have so many of these teams that don't even appear to be offensively capable of scoring a touchdown or two, and if you streamed, it would seem as though that could have been the better option as opposed to just rolling with one defense all season.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You know, I mean, if you, you know, are looking ahead, for example, you know, you have a situation where the 49ers play Washington next week, and so if you want to see if they're available, because for the most part, they are. I don't think a lot of people feel comfortable starting Washington this week against the Rams. You know, you start to look ahead, you know, 2 weeks out, 3 weeks out, you know, a lot of people picked up Washington's defense with the hope of, you know, using them against Miami this week, you know, a few weeks ago. And so it's not a bad situation to sort of game plan that way, that, you know, instead of holding on to that fifth running back that you're hoping is going to break out, or that, you know, sixth receiver, you know, carry two defenses and just sort of play that matchup game all throughout the course of the season if you can. And so in this case, like you said, there's so many bad offenses. And in the case of the Giants last night, as we saw, you know, sometimes injuries come into play. You mentioned it with Pittsburgh and their quarterback situation. You know, the Giants not having, you know, four, you know, key guys, or certainly the three key guys, if you want to factor in Gallman as well. But it just lended itself to the great performance by the Patriots getting even that much better because of the team that they played last night.
Yeah, I mean, not having Engram there as the security blanket was dooming for them. It just, from start to finish, it didn't look like they had any shot. They connected on a couple of different plays. But let's go to the Patriots here for a minute. And Jamie, this is the same story, and it's just a different year for New England in terms of winning. But I wonder from your perspective, too, if this ever changes, is that historically speaking, no matter how good the running backs are on New England, Belichick is going to do his thing with those running backs there. And so, and maybe this speaks more to dynasty leagues of owners of Sony Michel, but we've seen it in the past. Like, I think I got to go back maybe to like Corey Dillon as the last time that there was really a guy that he'd give the ball to on the goal line that we could predict. But why all of a sudden, Jamie, Tom Brady sneaking it in from the one. Like, he's the last guy I would have expected this year to be piling up 6 or 7 rushing touchdowns. But I just, as long as Belichick is the head coach there, I don't think that we're ever going to truly know who's going to run the ball near the goal line for New England.
Yeah, I mean, I will say that, you know, Michelle last year sort of gave us that, you know, if you want to go back to Corey Dillon, he kind of gave us that. And certainly, as we saw in the playoffs, you know, when he had the 6 touchdowns in 3 games, you know, he's kind of been that guy. At least that was the hope coming into the season. We had a conversation on one of our shows with Ben Bolin, who covers the Patriots for the Boston Globe, and he said that he thought actually Damian Harris would be somebody that could, you know, sort of work into that regard, because as well as Michelle did last year, he wasn't necessarily that efficient in getting the job done. And so that's kind of, I think, where we're at this year, is if you look at his short area numbers, his short yardage numbers, he's not converting 3rd and short, 4th and short. He's not converting necessarily the goal line at a very successful clip. Now, if you were to say prior to the game, Sony Michel is getting 22 carries and 2 catches, everybody would sign up for that in that game mm-hmm. against the Giants. And so while the touchdowns are disappointing, the workload has been very good. So it's one of those things where if you look at the box score by the end of the game, forget about touchdowns. It looks like he had a good night. Now, if you watch the game, he didn't convert on a 3rd and short and a 4th and short early in the game, and then when they got back down there, it was when Brandon Bolden had the touchdown. So it's obvious that the Patriots are a little bit frustrated with him in that regard, and he just hasn't been making a lot of people miss. But he's still their most competent guy at the end of the game to give the ball to, and that's when he had the chunk of his yardage was in the 4th quarter when they were killing the clock. So, I mean, the nice thing about that is, you know, the Patriots are probably going to be in those situations more times than not where they're, you know, killing the clock at the end of the game. So that's where I think he'll still win. The concern for me, though, with him is, as we saw before Rex Burkhead got hurt, he was starting to take on more work. And what happens when Burkhead comes back, because they seem to like him very much.
Yeah, Jamie Eisenberg is with us. Good points there on the running game. In terms of the Patriots receiving game, we finally saw Jacoby Myers get involved in a game. I cut him, actually, going into the week. Go figure on that one. But Josh Gordon, Jamie, and, you know, I'm playing in about 5 leagues, and I have him in 2. And I said, you know what? I'm going to play him in 1. I'm going to bench him in another, because he's been a disappointment. But I wanted to just leave that little door open for something to happen. I understand he did get hurt in the game last night, and they didn't really need him. But do we at this point just have to view Gordon as like a borderline wide receiver 3? Because he has certainly not come through in any kind of way that we thought. Has it been more game script? Like, will this change when they play KC and some of these better teams? Because he looks like more like a tight end to me than he does a receiver at this point.
Yeah, I'm with you. It hasn't been pretty, and now we have to wonder how healthy he's going to be moving forward. You know, seeing him sit on the exercise bike wasn't exactly encouraging for the majority of that game. So if he's healthy, I think matchups will matter. You know, he's going to probably have to have a game or two where he produces before you feel comfortable with him. Now, I don't think you should cut him, because I think anybody sees him on the waiver wire, they'll pick him up just to sort of stash him and see what happens. But, you know, you're talking about a season now where they've obviously not been happy with their receiving core. You know, with everything that they've done and tried to replace guys and bring different guys in, you know, whether it was Demaryius Thomas or Antonio Brown or, you know, the Maurice Harrises of the world in the offseason, I don't know if that speaks to them not being comfortable with Gordon where he's at, Brady not being comfortable with him, you know, just his lack of production overall from the, you know, not being able to play because of the suspensions and the off-the-field stuff. So he's, you know, we're all sort of, I think, chasing a ghost of that, I think it's 2015, season when he was just an absolute monster. He's never going to be that guy again. At least that's probably the way you should approach it. But there'll be some good moments, like you said, you know, when the matchups are a little bit different. I think Brady as a whole just isn't playing very well either. You know, and I was in a similar situation to you when I was actually, you know, since we talk about this quite a bit, I was coaching my son's Little League game and, you know, started looking at Twitter a little bit in between innings and doing my job and seeing the people, you know, asking about the weather. And so I had Gordon in two leagues also, where I pulled him in 1, I kept him in another just to sort of see, because I thought he was going to have a breakout game.
Me too.
I thought the matchup against the Giants was so good, and without Dorsett in there, I thought he would, you know, get 7-8 targets and just destroy the secondary. But, you know, I'm not going to use the injury as an excuse. It was a bad performance from his statistics before he got hurt. And so maybe he finishes with a good game, but, you know, at this point it's frustrating.
Did you win last night, by the way? I coached too last night. Did you guys win?
Yeah, we had a good game. My son's 7. He's on a little bit of a hot streak right now. We played 5 games, and he's got 5 home runs.
Wow!
He's feeling himself a little bit, so I got to humble him. You know, he's in the dugout. So he had a 2 home run game, and then last week he wasn't feeling so good, so his home run streak came to an end. But he got back on the board today. He's got a nice little lefty swing, and so you know how it is. You hit it in the right field, you're most likely gonna He hasn't hit one out yet. You know, we
played I got with you.
The,
yeah.
Uh-huh. The big field. But, you know, he hits it past the right fielder, and for the most part, he's running all the way around the bases. But, yeah, we did win.
Yeah, good. Yeah, we won too. Yeah, my son was a little humble too because he got 3 hits the first game he played in, only 1 hit last night, and then he's upset at the end of the game, and you know, what are we doing here? And I gotta have to sit down and the talk, and you know, we won. He's like, we won the game, but I didn't. I'm like, stop right there. That's not the way that this is. You know, like so.
It's tough. It's a weird thing with you know, especially when you coach your kids because you obviously want the team to do well. But also at the same time, you know, the best case scenario is your kid does well, your team does well. But it's those situations where one of the two doesn't happen, and how do you sort of, you know, balance that?
Yeah, no, it's a tough balancing act because I'm trying to convince him that it doesn't matter. But for him, it does. And then you're right. For me as the assistant coach sitting there, it's like, oh, my gosh, like what is going to happen here? All right. Last question here on the Giants. Then we'll take a break and move on to the NFL this week. Giants, to me, I don't know. Nothing came out of that game that made me feel optimistic. I think getting Barkley back will certainly be good for them, Jamie. But the bottom line is that. You know, Tate had that nice game. I'm not really buying that. I mean, the running backs looked like a mess. Engram didn't play. Jones looked like he's gone the other way. I just can't really count on the Giants at this point. Too many injuries and uncertainty, right? Most of my leagues, I didn't even see a lot of people playing anyone on that team.
No. And, you know, it's funny. Like, got some blowback for saying to sit Golden Tate. And, you know, I didn't know what you were expecting going in with a team that hadn't allowed a touchdown to a receiver. And he's the first one to do it. So, you know, kudos to those people who started him. You know, I think he was a good daily play just as a contrarian. But otherwise, you know, for seasonal leagues, it was hard to say Golden Tate would perform well. I think the one thing that if you're going to look at it is it's, you know, checking the schedule because they get Arizona next week.
Oh,
and so
okay.
While the Cardinals do get Patrick Peterson back from suspension, so that's probably going to be tough on either Shepard if he plays or Tate. But if Daniel Jones has everybody available to him, so Engram comes back, Shepard is healthy, and now Barkley plays, then you're talking about very good skill players against a terrible defense, that's something you can maybe say, okay, I'll use Daniel Jones as a streamer if I'm stuck. But he's got to have everybody healthy there because it's not going to be pretty if it's Red Ellison and, you know, Darius Slayton trying to carry this offense along with maybe Golden Tate and hopefully Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, for sure. Barkley is the key name. All right, what we'll do is we'll take a quick timeout on Fantasy Sports Today. We come back and preview the weekend with Jamie Eisenberg. We'll get some of his picks to click in DFS. You're listening to Fantasy Sports Today. Don't go away.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Hey, y'all, what up? It's Jess Hilarious, and I'm here to tell y'all that I'm launching my podcast, Carefully Reckless, on the Black Effect Network. I'm going to be telling y'all all my business and telling y'all other people's business, too. It ain't no limits to the things I talk about. Y'all know that if y'all know me. From baby mama drama to healthy relationships, from child support to stimulus checks. Look, when you take a step back and you realize that we all go through crazy stuff and we got stories to tell, those situations do not define you. But they do make for a real good conversation. In a world where clickbait and cancel culture can tell your story before you do, I'm creating an outlet to remind people that we still human, crazy, and we can all laugh about it. Don't stress over it. Bring your problems to me. I promise I won't judge you, but I might crack a joke or two. Don't be scared. It'll be respectful and messy at the same time. Just make sure you tune in. Listen to Carefully Reckless on January 20th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish and Jamie Eisenberg.
And welcome back. This is Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish back with you. You can follow Jamie Eisenberg on Twitter at Jamie Eisenberg. And, of course, all of his fantasy news and notes. He is in the thick of this thing as the fantasy football season hits about the 40% mark in terms of the regular season. So it's kind of put up or shut up time. And, boy, there are two key injuries at the running back position that I did not see coming based on the way that I saw the games play out last week. And we'll start off Jamie, with Todd Gurley, because this is definitely an interesting one. Rams 49ers, to me, is a gorgeous matchup. I think all across the board there could be some points in this game. But Gurley left the game last week with an injury that I didn't even know that he had. I have him in one league, and it was a league I thought I drafted horribly in, so I wanted to make sure I got some boom or bust candidate. He's had 4 touchdowns the last 2 weeks. You and I talked about him last week, and we thought that this is what it could be. It could just simply be goal line. It could be volume, and that's all we're really looking for from him. But man, if he doesn't play, that's definitely a shot in the arm. And I got to tell you, Jamie, if I don't know what Malcolm Brown is going to be, and I certainly don't know what Henderson's going to be at all, but if one of those two guys plays well, I mean, I could see this thing going in the old Denver Broncos situation where Terrell Davis would get hurt, another guy would come in, another guy would come in. I could see this playing out this way. How do you feel about the Rams situation this week?
It played out that way last year. I mean, you know, Gurley missed the 2 games, and C.J. Anderson, speaking of the Broncos tie-in, you know, came on and was just a star for people in the fantasy playoffs, you know, with the way that he played to help, you know, the Rams, you know, secure their playoff spot while Gurley was done. So, I could see a similar situation. You know, go back to week 1 when the complaints were Malcolm Brown is stealing touchdowns from Todd Gurley when he scored twice against the Panthers. So they feel pretty comfortable with him, I think, in those short yardage situations, which is where Gurley's had success. And then we'll find out how they're going to use both guys if Brown and Henderson are sharing the workload in that matchup against the 49ers if Gurley doesn't play. I have one of my colleagues, Will Brinson, who covers the NFL for us. You know, he told me yesterday, just in talking about this, he's like, I wonder if this is now the Kamara, David Johnson rookie situation where the explosive player didn't do anything in the first few weeks and all of a sudden they blow up. Now, Kamara was a different story because he was an absolute star as a rookie, but David Johnson really was sort of building toward that what we saw from him in his second year. So the explosive player is Henderson. He's the one I think that is the wild card in all of this because Malcolm Brown would sort of slide into the rushing downs role for Gurley if he's out and, you know, have the chance to score. Like you said, you know, Gurley scored 4 touchdowns in the last 2 games. Henderson, I think, would be the one playing on passing downs, and that's sort of how they used him in the preseason when they were trying to get him going. So I don't think it's going to be all of a sudden that we've seen the last 2 weeks in terms of playing time. Gurley 65 snaps, 67 snaps out of about 70 in both those games, so well over 90% of the snaps for the Rams. I think Brown would probably take on probably 70 of those and Henderson the rest. So, you know, just 70%, excuse me, of that and Henderson the rest. So I think if you're looking at it and you see you know both guys on the waiver wire, Brown should be the priority. But if you have a roster spot to play with, you know, take a flyer on Henderson and just see how this works out.
Yeah, I agree. I did take one on Henderson, and I may end up having to use him in the league that I have Gurley. Speaking of which, this is another one that I need your help on here because I do not know a lot about this kid Edmonds on Arizona. And if David Johnson doesn't play, this is also the tastiest matchup I could see in weeks. I mean, the Falcons' defense looks like one of the worst defensive teams we've seen in the NFL in a long time. And, of course, Keanu Neal, our Gator friend, is out for the year. I mean, shouldn't Edmonds be owned in, like, every league? But I don't know a lot about him. He didn't play in a big college, so I didn't see a lot of him, Jamie.
Yeah, no, he's got the chance to be explosive. You know, we saw it in the big run last week, you know, when he gave Johnson a little bit of a breather there. I don't know if that's when the back started to bother him in the game against the Bengals, but you know, the Cardinals like him, and I think it's one of those situations where if you have the choice of, like, just say you're in an 8-team league or a 10-team league, and here's your waiver wire, and nobody picks up Malcolm Brown or Chase Edmonds, pick up Edmonds first, just with the thought of a one-game situation. Now, Malcolm Brown may have the long-term appeal if this is the start of the Gurley, you know, falling apart because of injury. But if you just say that you could start one of these two guys this week, Edmonds against the Falcons could be a league winner for you. You know, think about how Wayne Gallman performed against the Redskins a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the conversation was how much fab do you spend on him? Do you burn a waiver spot on him? If you can get one win out of one guy, it's worth however much you spend because that guy helps you, you know, get one step closer to the fantasy playoff. And so I think Chase Edmonds, if he's going to be the starter for the Cardinals, I haven't exactly thought about where he's going to be ranked, but probably somewhere in the top 12. It's just the matchup is so good. He get all those touches. They're starting to run the ball a little bit more. We've seen throughout the course of the season that they've thrown the ball to David Johnson. He's not David Johnson, clearly, but they do like him, and I think they'll give him an opportunity to play, even if David Johnson's healthy, because he's not going to be 100%. But if he's out for whatever reason, then Chase Edmonds can win you your league this week because the Falcons defense is so bad.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, the people underestimate what it's worth, one win in fantasy football, especially in this stage of the game. Some excellent points there from Jamie Eisenberg of CBS Sports. Okay, so some other decisions that will have to be made this week as we go back to our Packers. Seems like our weekly conversation on the Packers. This is definitely not a good sign for Devontae Adams, that even having all this time off and missing a game, that he can't get back on the field. So they clearly threw smoke screens at us with the health of Devontae Adams. But at the same time, and again, I'm in different leagues owning Valdez-Scantling, two different leagues, two different busts last week. I'm in a position this week where I'm going to probably start him again. I'll give him another opportunity. There would seem to be a chance here, although, Slay is a key against Detroit. But, Jamie, it just doesn't seem like the Packers are in any rush to throw the ball at all in any situation, in any game. This is the LaFleur offense of just give the ball to Aaron Jones, and if we have to throw on third down, we will. And so I don't know that the recipe is there for any success offensively. Is it that, or is it just they don't have Adams, and he's just so much better than all the other receivers they have?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of all of that. You got to find out if Valdez-Scantling's healthy. You know, he popped up on the injury report also, so. Obviously, if Rodgers doesn't have both of his top two receivers, then it's a no-go. But, you know, I think it's one of those things where, you know, Detroit, going back to last year after they got Snacks Harrison, their run defense has been certainly improved. Last year it was tremendous. This year there's been a little bit of a slight step back, you know, in terms of how they perform, but still very good. So if the Packers can't have the same success running the ball and they have to turn to Rodgers, if he has Valdez-Scantling without Adams, I think he's still a borderline starter. If he has, you know, obviously both those guys gone, then it's, you know, just tough to trust him with, you know, Jimmy Graham and Geronimo Allison and that whole crew carrying the offense. But, look, it's going to be one of those games where I think, you know, this is the track record for both quarterbacks against each other. Stafford against the Packers and Rodgers against the Lions is tremendous. So I have a slight feeling that this could be a game where Rodgers sort of, you know, compiles his numbers, you know, not necessarily one guy having a big performance, but somebody scoring touchdowns. You know, it could be Robert Tonyan. You know, it could be Jamal Williams coming back, finds the end zone. So Rodgers, if Valdez-Scantling plays, I think is a low-end starting option, and Valdez-Scantling is still a little bit of a dart throw. He made some moves, you know, running routes that were just amazing last week against the Cowboys, but they're just not connecting right now, and I think that's the key for Rodgers is sort of, you know, getting him involved a little bit more would certainly be better for, I think, both parties involved.
Yeah, I mean, Jones has looked great. I mean, that's no indictment on what the Packers are doing. They've been proving me wrong every week. I watch them play. I'm not impressed, and somehow they keep winning. So that's definitely
part of the problem. I think it's part of the problem with Adams is that they're winning because if, you know, they can take their time. You know, they're looking at now January as opposed to we got to get to January. You know, so the fact that they're able to sort of steal these games in essence, you know, going into Dallas and winning, that's bad news for Adams' health in terms of him rushing back on the field.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, the Bears at this point need basically four. With the way the teams are tanking and not playing well in both conferences, 9 wins is getting you in. I mean, and the Bears don't look good either. So, yeah, I mean, and the Vikings haven't looked good, and they've already beaten the Vikings. So, yeah, you make a lot of good points there. I think that's part of it. Jamie Eisenberg is with us. The two big totals on the board in terms of Vegas, San Francisco, and the Rams, that's one. That's at 50. Arizona and Atlanta is at 52. So here is where we lean on you for some play this week, whether it's DFS or guys potentially that could break out. I am just sick and tired of the same guys, of the Miles Sanders, the David Montgomerys. I know Montgomery's off this week, but I'm not going back there this week. I want some new blood, Jamie. Give me some new blood this week, guys that maybe we should be looking forward to starting with some bye weeks this week.
Well, I think, you know, one injury situation that you got to keep an eye on aside from the two running backs is the receiving core for the Chiefs. And so if you have no Sammy Watkins and no Tyreek Hill, Byron Pringle looked really good last week. You know, so if you're talking about DFS or, you know, just somebody to pick up, you take a guy that could be one of the, you know, prominent targets from Patrick Mahomes. And I say that it could be the Mecole Hardman week or DeMarcus Robinson, you know, having those big performances once again. But, you know, those two guys have done it with Watkins on the field. And so now it would be three really inexperienced guys or at least nondescript guys, you know, based on what the names are. And so one of those guys can come through and have a big game. That's the biggest injury you got to keep an eye on in terms of bye weeks, because Byron Pringle, is, at least on our site, was about 10% ownership. And we're typically on the higher end of those type of players. So he could be available almost everywhere. So I'd go take a look and see if Byron Pringle is out there if you have a roster spot to play with.
Yeah, that's one key player, I think, that definitely needs to start being owned. In terms of a couple of the other games this week, is there any like further expectation for games where you're seeing just two offenses? And I'll use Tennessee and Denver as an example. Like there's games every week: Tennessee, Denver, the Bears, the Buffalo Bills. Do you play the contrarian approach ever with any of these games, Jamie, or is there enough data with some of these players offensively that they're just kind of stay away for you in DFS?
You mean because they're playing good defenses?
Yeah, they just don't score points. Like Tennessee doesn't score. Well, Denver, yeah, Buffalo,
For me, it comes down to, you know, some of the different formats, you know. So, like, I would stay away from Henry in PPR, so DraftKings, for example. But FanDuel or TAF, you know, the touchdowns that he used to score against Denver sort of come into play a little bit. So I think Henry's value is depressed enough that, you know, comparatively to what some of his production has been. Like, he could have, you know, 60 yards and two touchdowns against the Broncos. That wouldn't surprise me. That's just the type of player that he is. So it's sort of case specific with each guy. You know, I mean, you typically tend to want to gravitate toward the games where Vegas tells you it's going to be high scoring ones and the defenses are bad on the other side. I think one of the more fun games, and there's going to be a lot of players that you can sort of use certainly for DFS, but also for, you know, if you're just looking for streaming options, it's Miami and Washington. You know, there's not a lot of stars clearly in that game, but, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if this is a Preston Williams two-touchdown game and Josh Rosen plays well, and then Case Keenum coming back, and we saw, you know, multiple touchdowns each of his first 3 weeks against the Dolphins defense, which is terrible. So, you know, Paul Richardson, for example, because Terry McLaurin, I think, is obvious, but, you know, Paul Richardson, who played well with Keenum, comes into play too. So, you know, it's sort of one of those where you want to go contrarian to what the national perception is of the game, but fantasy, this is where you take advantage. And sort of, you know, you look at it and say, okay, these two teams are bad, but they're bad on both sides of the ball versus each other. And so maybe something happens, you know, Miami coming off their bye week in Washington, you know, with the new coach.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, this could be the big Rosen week. We've been waiting for that all season. Okay, final before you go.
It's Yom Kippur, so it's
didn't work out well for Max Fried. All right, let's close on this. Gators at LSU this week. LSU minus 13.5 in this game. And it's a wee for you and me with Florida. It's maybe one of the few wees that we still hang on to in sports these days. Yeah. Do we have any shot at LSU to win this game this week?
You know, it's going to come down to the defense and Trask not making any mistakes. If the defense looks like it has been, I think they'll make the offense for LSU uncomfortable. I mean, I don't think they're going to stop them because that offense is amazing and playing at home. I think they'll cover the spread. I don't think that they'll win, you know, which is clearly what we're more concerned about. It's just such a tough spot. I mean, you know, when they were at their best going into LSU and LSU was not at their best, it's just such a tough place to play. So it was amazing to see how they performed against Auburn. And, you know, I think you sort of celebrate those moments. And this one is one of those where you just sort of like, you know, watch with, you know, your hand over it with, you know, kind of peeking out and say, okay, hopefully they keep it competitive.
Hopefully, man. Hopefully. What a great win this would be if they could pull this one off Saturday.
Oh, I think if they win, they're in the playoff. I you know, even if they lose to Georgia, you know, a one-loss Georgia, because they wouldn't be in the SEC championship game, you know, assuming Georgia wins out. So it'd be hard to keep a one-loss Florida beating Auburn, beating LSU, and unless they just got completely housed by Georgia. But if they were to run the table, lose to Georgia, I think they're in the playoff.
I hope so, man. All right, that's Jamie Eisenberg, CBS Sports. We'll both be watching that game for sure on Saturday night. Thank you for a great week, Jamie. Appreciate it. We'll talk next week.
You got it, bud. Have a good one.
All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We've got Exit Velocity next. Don't go away.
Are you ready for the nation's first and only free 24-hour network dedicated to you, the betting and fantasy sports enthusiast? SportsGrid will provide you with real-time content, statistics, and gaming intelligence unlike anything you've ever seen before. Located both in the heart of New York City and inside the FanDuel Sportsbook at the Meadowlands, SportsGrid is live 18 hours a day, here to serve you, the fanatic. This is SportsGrid. Get on the grid.
Fantasy Sports Today with Craig Mish.
And welcome back. Craig Mish here with you. It's time to end the show with a little Exit Velocity.
I feel the need for speed.
Ow! Exit Velocity.
Nice velocity.
We end the show with a little bit of a preview of the baseball postseason, ALCS, NLCS. It has been a fantastic baseball postseason, but let me talk about one specific player going back to all the way throughout the season. The most dominant force in Major League Baseball has been Gerrit Cole. And let me tell you right now, in all the years I've been watching baseball, there have been very few players that I've seen on this kind of run. Cole Hamels, Madison Bumgarner, Charlie Morton, Jake Arrieta, Oral Hershiser. It is that kind of feeling that I'm getting with Cole. He'll probably only pitch two games against the Yankees, but I am so curious to see how he does on this big stage because it has been lights out for him all season long. We got more playoff baseball action coming up this weekend. I hope you guys enjoy it. Thanks again to Jamie Eisenberg for coming on the show. And for my producer, Sean Guastamacchia, I am Craig Mish. Full-time fantasy is next. We'll talk to you Monday at noon with Joe Pizzapia. Have a great weekend, everybody. See ya.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey y'all, what up? It's Jess Hilarious, and I'm here to tell y'all that I'm launching my podcast, Carefully Reckless, on the Black Effect Network. I'm going to be telling y'all all my business and telling y'all other people's business too. It ain't no limits to the things I talk about. Y'all know that if y'all know me. From baby mama drama to healthy relationships, from child support to stimulus checks. Look, when you take a step back and you realize that we all go through crazy stuff and we got stories to tell, those situations do not define you. But they do make for a real good conversation. In a world where clickbait and cancel culture can tell your story before you do, I'm creating an outlet to remind people that we still human, crazy, and we can all laugh about it. Don't stress over it. Bring your problems to me. I promise I won't judge you, but I might crack a joke or two. Don't be scared. It'll be respectful and messy at the same time. Just make sure you tune in. Listen to Carefully Reckless on January 20th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.